learn over the week. It's a week, isn't it? But it's over a weekend. This year's theme was multiply, and we had some excellent teaching. So it all began Friday evening with Anthony Delaney and his megaphone and other things. But he talked about the parable of the talents. And he said, we need to move from an addition mindset. You know, where we add a few people into the church. Into a multiplication mindset. You know, where's the next cell group coming from? Where's the next congregation coming from? Where's the next church plant? And he said, using the parable of the talents, a lot of us look at that and think it's unfair, don't we? One guy gets five, one guy gets one. And being British, we all feel sorry for the guy who had one talent. And why was God so harsh on the man with one talent? He said this, though. A talent wasn't a gift. It was money. And it was the equivalent of 20 years' wages. So it would be the equivalent of getting, well, almost £1 million. It was £55,000, the average wage in the UK. I mean, not many people here on anything like that. You're below average, folks. You just need to pray harder. No. But seriously, you know, if you're given £1 million, it doesn't matter, does it, that someone's been given £5 million? £1 million's a lot. And what he said is, the problem with a guy with a one talent is he went out and he buried what he had because he was comparing what he had to what other people had. And he said, don't compare the little you've got. Invest it and multiply it. Because what you've got is from God. So invest it and multiply it. Saturday morning, we had David and Philippa Stroud. Philippa is Baroness Stroud, was the chief exec of the Centre for Social Justice, and they talked about cultural, social, and spiritual renewal. And they said the church needs to do its job well so that our communities get better. That's good, isn't it? Our communities get better when we do our job well. And they reflected on the lessons of Jeremiah 29. You know, pray for the prosperity of the city to which I have sent you. And the Israelites in exile. And they said, we must remain distinct. Going for relevance is a red herring. We must build bridges. We must not retreat. We must continue to have influence because of God's favor on our lives and know what we stand for rather than what we stand against. On Saturday evening, John Norman brought the simplest plan for the transformation of villages, towns, and cities. It's the simplest plan. It's profound in its simplicity. So why aren't we doing it? It was simply this. Come and go. Come and go. Come into the body of the church, gather regularly and be changed and transformed, and then go and share what you've been given by God, and other people will come and they will be transformed and they will go. Come and go. We go up for that, aren't we? Come and go. Sunday morning, Tony Miller spoke about Peter walking on the water. And he explained that God calls each one of us to be exceptional. It was an exception, wasn't it? Peter walked on the water. As far as I know, not many other people have walked on water, Jesus and Peter. Peter was the exception. But Jesus called Peter. He calls each of us to be exceptional. The Bible never describes the church as normal. The church is not normal. And he said, you can't live good believing bad. As a man thinks, so he is. So if you think bad thoughts, you'll live bad. If you think you're not good enough, guess what? You're living not good enough. We can mistakenly try and deal with people's behavior and change behavior. But that's not God's way. You see, behavior comes out of belief. God doesn't want to change your behavior. He wants to change what you believe. And when you change what you believe, you'll change your behavior. And he said, your growth is limited to what you've been exposed to. Peter was in the boat. And he was exposed to Jesus walking on the water. His faith grew. The faith of the disciples who'd been exposed to Jesus walking on the water made it grow. But if you don't put yourself in the place of exposure to what God's doing, you'll never grow beyond where you are. If you never put your trust in God, then how will you ever believe that he can be trusted? On Sunday evening, Stuart talked about multiplying kingdom disciples, and he used the story of Daniel, and he said three main points, and they were, do not be fearful of the culture, do not be compromised by the culture, and do not be shaped by the culture. But Helen's going to come and share a little bit more about what Stuart said about Daniel.
So Daniel was about 16, apparently, when he went off to Babylon. And he followed God's ways, and so did his mates, just as he'd been taught all his life. And he chose to carry on with that lifestyle. They all chose to do that. They could have relaxed into the culture of the day, which is what Stuart was going on about. And so can we. And that's what it struck me. We can just decide to, you know, compromise and, oh, well, they do it. But their choice was better for them. They decided to carry on with their own culture, their own belief system, praying aloud and all that stuff. So for us, the longer that we follow Jesus and choose that lifestyle, theoretically, we should be better at sticking to it. But the world is enticing, and we just can easily fall to type, just carry on with what the world does in their choices, their different way of doing things. We worry about stuff. Our decision making can just, if we're not relying on God, if we're not following that taught lifestyle from God, can change the way we make decisions if we're not sticking to what God guides. We cannot leave things in God's hands because some stuff we can't do anything about, but we just worry. We can try to fix things in our own life and others, ourselves, rather than getting God to fix it, giving it to God. We cannot believe that he will look after us financially. The provision, everything that we need, every little thing that we need. So we can hold back on what we give to God because we think, oh, we need it. I've not got much. It struck me, are we strong enough to stick to following God's ways? Daniel practiced praying and eating less rich food. He had a bit more cabbage. He was leaning on God, and he was saved from the lion's den, from the fiery furnace with his mates. And he was promoted to a place of influence as a result. What can God do with us if we follow his direction?
So on Monday morning, Rob Parsons spoke. It's probably the most moving bit of the whole event. He spoke on bringing home the prodigals. And he put the cross on the stage and he simply talked about prodigals, and everyone was invited to write down name of a prodigal and lay it at the foot of the cross in a basket. And all the thousands who were in the big top walked out to the front to lay the name of a prodigal in a basket. And then at the end of the service, we were invited to take a name from the basket and to covenant to pray for that person, because he said prayer works. But in talking about the prodigals, he said we need to understand that God made each one of us different. And we must never try and squeeze people into our mold and our way of doing things. He said we've got to learn to catch people doing right. You know, we're good at catching people doing wrong. But do we catch people doing right? And he pointed out that not all prodigals run away. He said there were two prodigals in that story, one who stayed and one who went. He said that some prodigals run away because of the criticism they hear from the prodigals who stay at home. The ones with the spirit of the elder brother, the spirit of judgment. And he encouraged us not to be a barrier between anyone and the Father's love. And on Monday evening, Tony Miller, he spoke about Hagar. You know, Hagar is only called Hagar by God. If you read the story. Sarah says, why don't you sleep with my slave? She's just a slave. She's just a commodity. Yet God knows her name. God knows she's special. God knows she's blessed. And we have to have a correct view of ourselves, not what others think about us, but what God thinks about us. And he said this, Jesus did not die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people alive. He didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people live. And on Tuesday morning, Ann Calver preached on Acts 1, and she spoke of a vision of a wave coming. Like a big surfing wave, but a wave of the Holy Spirit. And she spoke about just like a surfer preparing to ride the wave, we've got to be ready and equipped for what's coming. Because it's coming. And you know, sometimes you wait a long time in the water for the right wave. But you've got to train and you've got to be ready for it. Some figures, some were alluded to on the screen, but these are the figures from the end of the event after the video was produced. Over the course of the event, 297 under-11s made commitments for Jesus. And 148 11 to 18-year-olds gave their life to Jesus for the first time. There were responses in the big top. I think it was Tuesday morning. We were greeted with a story of a miracle. There was a lady. She'd been in a wheelchair for 17 years. She had transverse myelitis, which from the conversation on Facebook is inflammation of the spinal cord. She'd been in hospital for a year. No one had helped. Irene Bell had seen her at the Moment concert on the Saturday and thought, that lady needs healing. She said, but she didn't have the nerve to go up to her and pray. But on Sunday night, somebody did. Said, would you mind if I prayed with you? And someone prayed with her. They invited her up to share. Her sharing was simple. She got up out of her seat in the fourth row. She ran up to the front. She ran across the front. She ran back. She jumped up and down and went back to her seat. She'd been completely healed. And we know because her GP was sat in the front row. He's one of the leadership team of ground level. And he said, yeah, she's been diagnosed with transverse myelitis. It's basically incurable. Yet she got up and walked. We also learned on Tuesday afternoon, they showed pictures of the youth team, the children's team, and the worship team. Except it wasn't all of them. It was about two-thirds of each group. They were the ones of those teams who come to faith in the last 38 years of Grapevine and one event. Why do we do this Sunday? Because we've had a good time. Some of you chose not to come for whatever reason, whether it was finance. Does it feel like we're rubbing your noses in it? Yes. I make no excuse for rubbing your noses in it, because events like this are life-changing. They are life-changing. It's not that going to a camp in Lincoln is any better than being here in the church. But Stuart Bell's own kids came to faith at Grapevine, not in his church. Why? Because when people gather together, God does something in that celebration. Why is it in Scripture that people are commanded to celebrate, the whole nation to come together to celebrate? Why? Because there's some power in being together. In that different environment, God speaks. You know, me and Helen got back some nights and said, oh, the preaching, it was all right, but it was nothing special, was it? But hundreds of people went forward. Why? Because of the atmosphere. And what I want to say is, one event, any kind of celebration like that, it's about putting yourself and your family in the place to receive from God. And that's my challenge, really. My challenge is, come and join us next year. Come and join us on a field in Lincoln. Prepare for the wave that's coming, because it's coming. Invest your talent for the master. See multiplication in your life, multiplication in your children's life, in your unsaved partner's life, whatever. My challenge is for you to come and join us. If finance is an issue, then do what Peter does, do what Sandra's done, do what others have done, volunteer. If camping's not your bag, take a look at that photo of a glamping pod. Honestly, it's wonderful. And if that's not your bag, then there's always B&B or a hotel or other things that you can do. We normally say you've got till tomorrow to sign up for the biggest discount. You've actually got until the 18th of September. They are so keen and they believe that next year is going to be a significant event. So you can book in up until the 18th at discounted rates, significantly discounted rates. And if you can't afford to pay all in one go, you can pay it over 6 months. So what's stopping you from investing what God has got for you, taking that step of faith and being there?
Can I just refer you to that picture I had at the beginning when John was praying about changing the world? Your world changes upside down. He referred to it as he just closing then, and it occurred to me, yeah, that was the message. That's what happens, because it's different. It's going to that sort of thing. It's different, so from your local church. So it does prompt you. It makes a difference. We had a conversation with Gail and Rachel before what she was going to share, and the things she picked up was about choices. She could make her own choices. And me and Gary were having the conversation, which bit were that in then? We all pick something different up, like we do in our own churches, from the message or from whatever goes on. And John referred to people coming forward. Why are they going forward? God speaks to us in different ways. And he's like what he said to me about Daniel, what it said to me. I don't think Stuart talked about some of that. It just what it spoke to me. So that's what is turning your world upside down, is just that sort of event does make a significant difference in your life.
So we're going to watch the promotional video for 2020, and then we're going to stand and we're going to worship God.